Hebrews chapter 13. I will read verses 8 through 10. The context that we're in, really 7 through 10 tonight. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remembering them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause just for a moment. Lord Jesus, we ask again tonight for that divine illumination that only you can give us through your Spirit. If we're going to connect all of this information, if the Old Testament is going to make sense in the New Testament, then Lord, we need your help. It's more than just our memories. Father, it's wanting to understand. It's desiring to know. And that is our prayer tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From time to time, we have to stop and ask ourselves, does it really matter if I have the facts about Jesus Christ right? Does it really matter if I understand all of that? What if I don't agree with something the Bible says? Now, this is not something that you would share, but something that you may think. What if I think that the church is not all that important? What if I think that my personal faith is between God and me? And what if, and you can just sort of fill in the blanks. The danger of that line of thought is that it can lead to a falling away. We call it backsliding. The danger of that kind of thinking is that it can also cause others to fall away. When we begin to question the facts concerning Jesus Christ and what God has said in his word concerning his son, and even though you might try to justify and say, well, it's not a matter, I believe, it's just, I just have lots of questions. Be careful of those questions that can lead or expose perhaps your unbelief. I'm amazed sometimes at the very people who do not want to be accountable to the Word of God, to anyone, they expect everyone around them to be accountable to them. It's almost like it's a lopsided coin. But to be sure, especially when it comes to the facts of Christ, if you get it wrong here, it'll be wrong there. If Jesus Christ is not, as the Bible says, the Son of God, the sacrifice for our sins, born of a virgin, resurrected from the grave, ascended into the heaven, our high priest, seated at the right hand of the Father. And I could go on and on and on. Lord of all, creator of all. If those things are not paramount and just literally nailed down in your heart, then let me challenge you, spend the necessary time, study it, ask the questions, and get it right. Get it right. Because there's so much at stake. I got this morning off the internet. The General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA, they started their annual convention. And they opened up with a Muslim imam, and he opened up and offered prayers to the Islamic deity Allah in their way of reaching out. His prayer, Allah bless us and bless our families and bless our Lord. Lead us on the straight path, the path of all the prophets, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. If you don't get the facts right here, you're going to be wrong when you get there. Understanding what the scriptures say. Folks, that's false teaching. We've been teaching about it, but that's a blatant example of it. And the fact that, I mean, we're talking about the church in Laodicea. I mean, you're neither hot or cold. You know, you're lukewarm. It's almost and under the guise of just being tolerant, this is blasphemy as far as God is concerned. It is blasphemy, and it is wrong. It's devilish. It's hellish. And think of the people that it's going to mess up. You talk about leading people astray. It's just absolutely wrong. Going across the aisle, extending the hand, the olive branch, not when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no olive branches, none at all. Those are what we call non-negotiables, non-negotiables. Interesting. And then he goes on to say, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, let us praise the Lord. And then he goes on and on and on and on and on. Typical Islamic prayer. So is it important? Does it really matter? Well, absolutely it matters. Why? Eternity is at stake. Not only yours, but those who follow you. What we believe is critical to how we live our lives here. Now, what we believe will influence those around us, whether we want to admit it or not. Verses 7 through 9, here's a perfect example. In verse 7, we have this incredible contrast. Paul is telling us, remember those who have rule over you, whose faith follow. They have taught you the word of God. He said, consider their life, the end of their conversation, the life that they lived. In verse 9, he says, be careful of the false teachers. He says, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. What's he talking about? He's talking about those in the old Judaistic mindset, the legalism, the Old Testament, keeping the traditions, observing all of these things. He says, it has not profited them. You say, well, but it did. No, it did not. Think with me now, and we're going to go through this, and I'm going to do it as quick as I can. In the Old Testament, God came and he gave them the Ten Commandments. They were not the Ten Suggestions. If I'm a little snarky tonight, it's because I'm irritated with the Presbyterians in the USA. He gave them the Ten Commandments. Those were to help them to understand what it takes to have a relationship, to stay in fellowship with God. It covers the family. Thou shalt have no other gods but one. And it goes all the way through all of that. And then, listen, not only was it to help them to understand what it takes for them to have a fellowship, it was also there to expose their sinfulness. Their sinfulness. Fast forward. Moses, the tabernacle, all of the sacrifices, all the different sacrifices. The next week I'm going to go through them, and especially when we talk about the bronze altar. There's an incredible picture there of the Lord Jesus and where it's situated and what it's used for, and we'll talk about that next week. But God gave them that, and so the people had to understand that because they had to do this, there were daily sacrifices, and then there was the yearly Day of Atonement, that your sin is ongoing. It was trying to help them understand that what? Their nature was broken. They were sinful. And by the way, everything that went on in the tabernacle and the temple, it was not for the Gentiles, it was for the Jews and the Jews alone. Now, you could proselyte. You couldn't be a high priest. Why? You had to come out of the tribe of Levi. But it was for them. Why? God was setting them apart, setting the Jews aside. Why? Because they were going to be the bearers of the good news that God is love and God is grace and God is good. But they did these sacrifices. And it was, I mean, folks, it was. If we could show a picture of it today, it would be horrible. I read a guy today, and I've never read anything like this, and I'm not going to be gross with it. But he talks about how that when you would bring your sacrificial animal in and that you would put your hands on it, that they gave you the knife and you had to take the knife and slit the throat of the animal. And after you confess your sins, and what's the point of that? You say, why? It's so bloody and so gory. Oh, and it gets worse because how they had to do the different things for the different kinds of sacrifice. But the picture is, here is the wages of sin. This is the consequence of sin. This is the horridness of sin, the unholiness of sin. This is what sin does. And this is what God demands because God is holy. All of this pointed to whom? To Christ and what he did on the cross for us. We're broken, we're sinners. But Jesus only had to die once, not do it every other day. Paul reminds them, look, go back to verse 8. Verse 7, remember those who were faithful teachers of the Word of God. Verse 9, do not follow those who are unbelievers and unfaithful. And he's talking about his own, the Jews and their parents and their uncles and uncles who were high priests. And then he comes back to Jesus in verse 8. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, when you look at, okay, verse 7, we've got the faithful teaching of the Word of God. Then we have Jesus, who's faithful. He's the same. He's consistent. He never changes. He's everlasting. He's eternal. And then you come down, and it talks about the meats which have not profited them. You know what the picture is? He's trying to get them to see. Now, he's writing to the Jews. Understand that book of Hebrews. He's writing to the Jews. He's trying to get them to understand that when you leave the Jewish religion and you come to Christ, listen, he can give you a new nature. He is your one and only everlasting high priest. You don't need, why? Because in Christ alone, he's fulfilled all of the laws. He's fulfilled all of the sacrifices. He has taken care of all of that on your behalf. But what you have to walk away from, watch this, what you have to repent of is everything that you've learned, everything that you've heard, everything that you've seen, and now you come to Christ, who's the new covenant. And that's a picture of what you and I have to do. It's a picture of walking away from our old life and coming to, and see, the Jews have to do it too. They had to repent of religion. You say, well, religion's not bad. It is if it's your God. It is if you're counting on it to be your salvation. It is if it leads you to compromise. And you see, folks, when it says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, listen, you got to understand, it's Jesus, only Jesus ever. There's nothing else. You don't bring anything with you. Nothing can come with you. Why? You have to repent of everything. How have we watered the gospel down in our day? We want to compliment people. You know, well, you know, you've done good here and you've done well there, you know. And now what you need to do, like you're adding, you know, now you need to come to Christ. We need to preach sin as hard as we can, that it's ugly and it's terrible and it'll ruin your lives and it'll destroy you. And that we need to get down to it and say, listen, the only thing that can save you is Jesus Christ. Nothing else and no one else. Jesus only. He's your only hope. And we need to lift him up so high, that's all they see. Because then they'll understand that when it comes to faith, it's in Christ alone. And when it comes to repentance, you walk away from everything. Everything. You have nothing to stand on. Nothing. Why is that so important? So that when you come to Christ, you are madly in love with him, and he's all that you need. And you know what? Repentance won't be near as difficult, because you don't keep going back and forth. Why? You've cut all the ties. You've cut all the strings. Because Jesus is everything. Listen, go back to verse 5 of Hebrews 13. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So Jesus is saying, you can be content with me. I will supply you with every need you'll ever have. Every need. Every emotion. Every feeling. I'll be your high priest. I've been tempted in every way that you'll ever be tempted, yet without sin. I will be your high priest. I will intercede for you. I will guide you. I will fellowship with you. I will take care of you. And so when Paul is writing this, and he comes down to verse 10, and I'm going to have to quit here in about 3 minutes, it says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve in the tabernacle. We have an altar. Of course, we know who the altar is. It's Christ. Because in him, and we'll get into this more, but in him is everything. He's the sacrifice. He's the mercy seat. He's the altar. He was the lamb. He was the high priest. He was the sacrifice himself. He was all of those things. He is satisfied. He's the propitiation. He has satisfied everything that God demands for sin. And when we cast our faith and our care on him, we're saved. Romans, very quickly. Romans, let me dig it out real quick. I believe it's 4:23. Romans 4:23. And then I'll wrap this up. Romans 4:23. Listen to what it says. For all have sinned. I'm sorry, 3:23. Did I say 4? Yeah, I'm at 3. 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's part of the Romans road. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, now verse 25 speaks especially to the Jews, because this will ring with them. whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Did you know that the word forbearance in the Greek language, it's a derivative of the word that we get for mercy seat? Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. In the Old Testament, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and what would he do? He would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. Now, in Revelation 6, the mercy seat is the throne of God in heaven. Jesus is our propitiation. He's the mercy seat. He's the sacrifice. He's the high priest. Folks, he has, listen, God through Christ has taken care of everything. He has satisfied all of the Old Testament legal requirements, the law, and in Christ alone. Listen, he's defeated death. He's paid the sin debt. And in the resurrection, he gives us a new nature. That's why we can say, when Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we can say it with authority according to the word of God. So bottom line is, do the facts really matter about Jesus? Absolutely. Absolutely. And these things you say, well, David, I can't just get up there and say it like you do. Yeah, but my thing is this. Do you know those things? Yeah, okay. Do you believe those things? Yes, I believe those things. And I'm not going to be tricked. I'm not going to be talked out of it by anybody else. Anybody else. And when you know those things and you believe it, you'll spot the error in about 5 seconds. When something happens, you'll say, that's not right. That's not right. Why? According to the word of God, according to the facts of who he is. And you know what? I'm not offended, but I am so displeased because the sadness and just the horrific message they're sending, because it's not the gospel. And don't call yourself a church. And don't say you're a follower of Christ, because you're not. You're not. So what's my responsibility? I'm to teach you over and over and over again, repetitively, until it's more than you get it. It's automatic. You know it. Say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Say that again. That doesn't sound right. That's why it's so important, folks, that we stay with the word. Amen. I can have fellowship with anybody, spiritual fellowship with anybody, if they know Jesus. If they don't know Jesus and they don't want to know Jesus, I can be friends to them, but I can't have fellowship with them. We have nothing in common at all. Am I going to be ugly to them? Nope. Why? I can't be a witness to them if I'm ugly with them. I'll be as kind as I can. But there's just some things they can try to convince me all they want, and I'll stand there and smile and say, nope, it's just Jesus. You've got to get Jesus straight, son, according to God's word. What do you think? Doesn't matter what I think, but it matters what God says. And we stand on his word. Amen? All right, let's pray. Then we'll just be real quiet until we do what we're supposed to do. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this night. And God, we'll revisit this next week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.